Welcome to Service Desk,
where we help users help themselves.
Hi, Andrew.
How's it going, Kim?
My life at work was a little crazy this week.
What happened?
We have virtual machines that are people's desktops, and one of the host environments just died.
Oh.
That was fun.
So were kind of people just up and dry without being able to do any of the work?
Basically, there was about a half a day that if anybody restarted or shut their virtual machine off, we just couldn't bring it back. Thankfully, we only had 5 machines that were completely gone, but it made for a crazy week.
Yeah, I can understand that. Thankfully, I don't know. I like virtual machines on desktops and users' ends, but they definitely can cause issues if they go down. Did you have backups of them at all? Or?
Oh, yes. One of the nice things is that our server team keeps everything nice and backed up. But maybe we should tell these people what we do for a living, that we know these things.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. What do you do, Kim?
I'm a service desk technician at a small to medium company.
I am probably just say tier 2 level IT support. That's kind of hardware and software at a medium to large company.
Awesome. So as you've already heard, we have virtual machines. We have people on desktops. We have lots of laptops and surfaces as well. And I'm kind of the front line that helps with all manner of things, and I get to point people to, I don't know anything about that server issue you're having, so here you go to the server team.
Yeah, and I do a lot of that kind of work as well. You know, we get people that are having issues with Word or just logging in, network issues, and then, you know, just yesterday I replaced the screen on someone who closed their laptop on a pin, so lots of hardware stuff as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I enjoy that hands-on work, so it's nice when I get to do that. Not that I'm, you know, encouraging users to go break in their hardware.
Please don't.
The nice thing here at our company, too, that's taking up a lot of our time, is for those users that might not know or people out there listening, Windows, the people that make the software you most likely use, is going to be stopping support for Windows 7. Within a couple of years. I think actually within a year now. I'm not sure the exact end date, but a lot of companies are trying to get the jump on that and slowly start moving their environments over to Windows 10. And they don't have, you know, thousands of machines just to switch over at the last moment, like people did with Windows XP to 7. So we've been slowly starting to ramp up that project.
That is one nice thing about my company. They've been on top of that for, well, we're small enough that it's been easy to keep up with that change.
Especially if you have virtual machines where you can just kind of spin those up and users probably don't even know that they were changed.
Well, they do, because they're going from Windows 7 to 10.
Yeah, with the cosmetic, yeah.
But yeah, it's much easier than burning a whole new machine tower.
Exactly.
What kind of news do you have for me today, Andrew, besides Windows 10?
The big thing that I've been looking at and kind of following, because I have friends that are buying and selling, is that whole Bitcoin craze. So you may have heard things, Bitcoin mining, Litecoin, even Dogecoin. There's all these words that Dogecoin is basically a currency made of memes. They had a car in the NASCAR a couple years back.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. Basically, what the skinny of it is, there's a whole bunch of computers that run math problems that solve how much Bitcoin's out there in the world, kind of, as the simplicity's sake of it. And every single computer kind of decodes every single transaction that happens every time something is sold. It all revolves around your powerful computers.
Sure.
And it's a virtual currency, so it's out there in the world, and everybody's part of it that has some. Part of that is that the more powerful your computer, the more you can mine, the more money you make. So a lot of people are getting these giant computer farms together, and that requires a lot of power. And currently, they're trying to find places in the world that are cheap. And Iceland has so much renewable energy with their thermal vents and their thermal energy there that so many Bitcoin mining operations are moving to Iceland that the country itself is saying, whoa, we're starting to run out of power here. So much Bitcoin is going to Iceland and the mining operations that the country is worried that it might not have enough power to supply its residents.
That's crazy.
Yeah, an entire country is running out of power because of something tech-wise.
Wow.
I would have to say I wouldn't want to be somewhere, you know, as cold as Iceland and not suddenly have the ability to heat my home. So it'd be interesting to see how that goes.
Absolutely. I did hear somebody complaining the other day they couldn't find a video card because apparently those are also being snapped up for this Bitcoin craze.
Exactly. And that's how the main part of the hardware in your computer that runs it is the graphics card. And I want to buy a new computer, but if I were to get a graphics card right now, it's like double or triple the price. So it's not even worth it for me to even think about getting a new computer.
Yikes.
For gaming.
You'll have to stick to your old games, Andrew.
I know. the perils of a techie, the geek.
So it goes.
And one other thing that I noticed too out there in the news, when it comes to tech at least, is, you know, the Olympics have been going on. Have you been following any of the sports at all?
I don't sports, ever.
I wanted to follow a lot of the sports, but then I noticed the time zone difference was just so insane that, like, the earliest things would be going on would be 8 p.m. Right. our time. And, I don't know, like, I would watch it live if I'm, you know, doing other things, but watching a recording to me isn't as fun.
I understand.
So, yeah, I haven't, unfortunately, been watching it. I like curling. I don't know why. It's fun to watch that.
That reminds me of a good joke.
What's that joke?
How do you keep Canadian bacon from curling in this pan?
I have no idea.
Take its little brooms away.
All right, that was a good one. That was a good one. Anyways, another cool thing at the Olympics, besides the sports, is because it's in South Korea and there's all these huge companies there like Samsung and Intel. It's like they're taking this opportunity to try and like showcase all the cool tech they have.
Sure.
So like over there, they got 5G running.
Ooh.
And a lot of the phones that they're giving out, and like there's certain tech stations they have that like people can go to and athletes can go to where you can like stream 4K or even 8K video over just wireless, which is insane.
Wow.
Yeah, the speeds are really good too.
So do you want to explain to our listeners what all that 4K, 5G stuff means?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
5G, I don't really have the strongest understanding. I know there's a lot of incremental jumps. So, like, right now, I think a lot of America, at least, will hear 4G as, like, the big thing, where that means, like, your speeds are really good.
In layman's terms, really sure. 4G is fast. 5G is crazy fast.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Yes. In layman's terms, because, you know, I don't want to show all that I know just off the top of my head. But yes. So yeah, 5G is like crazy fast. And we can't have that here in America yet because it requires new tech that the cell industries would have to innovate and spend money on. Also, our phones can't handle it, from what I understand.
Right. And the infrastructure to be able to build the 5G network across the space that we have, it's difficult, to say the least.
Exactly. The 4K video and 8K video, well, I think a lot of people would have heard of things like 1080p.
Yes.
Which is like a standard, or it's just quality. So right now, I think we're at 2K. Is pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things are at that. I mean, even YouTube videos. And it's just the higher you go, the purer, the crisper the picture looks.
Yeah.
So 4K and then even 8K. I've never even heard of 8K, to be honest. So it's cool that they're able to get that like pushed out there. But
awesome. So for our users today, we would like to help you with your passwords.
Passwords.
Everybody hates passwords, right?
You know, even us in IT.
Especially us in IT, because we have to change them all the time.
Exactly.
What are some of the rules that you have at your company for passwords?
Well, pretty standard conventions for a lot of companies. At the very bare minimum, I see They have to be longer than 8 characters. Standard-wise, across the kind of the industry, I've been seeing that moving up and up. So yeah, it wouldn't be rare to see over 12 characters long.
Ours is 10, so yeah.
Yeah. 8 was kind of an old one, so I'm glad that that's getting a little longer. Beyond that, usually they say at least one uppercase letter and one number and then one special character. So that'd be like a period, exclamation point, you know,
etc.
Percent sign. Yeah. Beyond that, some companies even go as far as to ban dictionary words. Ooh. So you can't have words like apple.
What?
Or tree. Yep. So you have to have all just random letters. But a lot of the time, those requirements are saved more for like admin accounts on the IT side.
That would make sense. Sure.
Yeah. Because the worst password that someone can have is a password that you don't remember or you can't type in.
Right. I don't know how many times there's one site in particular that I have a banking account through. I can never remember the password. And every time I have to hit that silly forgot password link.
Yep. And it's like every time you go to visit, it's just a new password every time.
Yeah, because I can't remember the one I changed it to last time.
And I've seen a lot of people also say that, I haven't done this myself, or I suppose I have sometimes, but good password is kind of to make a phrase.
Yes, I do that.
So like battery horse lick staple or something. And then you just put a couple numbers in there and then maybe a period at the end or a couple periods in the middle. Make a couple of the O's, zeros, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I like to use phrases related to whatever the site is. So if it's like a banking site, it might be, this is where I keep my money! Exclamation point. Ooh. 27 something.
I like that idea.
So it's just like a sentence I could say about whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
all fun. Praise our Google overlords.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They say that it's actually better to have random words now as opposed to having like the crazy nonsensicalness.
Yeah, I can see that. It's all about staying on top of the bad guys. As computers get better, as programs get better that allow you to kind of guess and crack into the passwords. Yeah, it's all about just trying to stay that one step ahead. It's going to keep changing and changing.
One step ahead of the... Never mind.
So, Kim, I have all these passwords, mm-hmm. you know, and they, you're never supposed to use the same one twice.
Right. You know,
so I have this list of like 50 sites I go to. How do you keep track of all those?
Well, after my 8th time of resetting that one password, I went out and was like, there's got to be a better way. And I found this thing called LastPass. And
I use that too.
Yeah. It will store the site. So you get the little URL for whatever you're trying to log into. It stores your username and your password. And if you want it to, it can randomly generate passwords for you as well.
No, I was going to say, yeah, exactly. That's what I do is that I don't even know the passwords for most of my sites that I visit because I just have LastPass randomly generate it.
Sure. I personally don't like depending on it quite that much, just in case, but I do use it for, like, everything.
What I have done is LastPass will allow you to export to, like, a secure or to a PDF file that you can then password protect using various other means.
Interesting.
So while I might not know most of my passwords, I have a PDF file which has my passwords that I have password protected and locked up, encrypted.
Yeah.
Elsewhere. So if LastPass goes out of business or I can't get into my account for whatever reason, I can just log into this file and then I can read off my passwords.
Yeah. And even if LastPass doesn't work for you, they have browser extensions, which is really nice
mm-hmm.
because it'll just automatically pop up when you go to that site. There are a whole lot of other products out there. And any kind of search will probably get you some ideas. But you want to be careful because you don't want to, like Andrew said, end up with something that's going to go out of business or there's going to be some terrible malfeasance that gets into your account or what have you. So how would we sort that out, Andrew?
Well, I would say there's two different types of password managers.
Mm-hmm.
The LastPass is one where your passwords kind of exist on their servers. And when you log into them, your password kind of decrypts your passwords as they come over. So they just have random jumbles of stuff on their server.
Mm-hmm.
And once it gets to your computer or your phone or whatever extension you're running, then it's encrypted or decrypted on your side. So the long story is, they just have random stuff and only you see what you want. There's other ones out there, like I think Dashlane, KeePass. KeePass is what a lot of my friends use, where the passwords never exist on the company's website.
Right.
So like with KeePass, it's just a file that you keep like in a Dropbox. It only exists on your computer. So KeePass will never even see your passwords. And that's what a lot of my techie friends like. Because, you know, it's a little scary to have your passwords out there in the servers or out there in the internet.
Right. But it's a lot better than having them all written down on a notepad next to your computer.
Exactly. And that's the big thing that a lot of people, why it's important to use a password manager, is because, yes, you're not supposed to repeat the same password over and over. But if you don't repeat the same password, then you have this giant list of things to remember, especially when you're supposed to be having, you know, these long passwords with complex characters.
Exactly.
So instead of writing them down in like a little book or something, or, you know, on a sticky note attached to your monitor, it's important to do that. I will say the one caveat, though, is if you work in a workplace, your work password to get onto your computer, that's one that I would urge you to just remember. Not a lot of companies are going to want you to write that down anywhere, even if it's in a password manager, unless you get an approval from the company itself.
Yes. There's a lot of security issues around that, no matter how you put that in a password manager, because that allows access to the network of your company, which I'm sure you get into personal identification stuff all the time. And especially if you have to follow HIPAA, you can get into all kinds of violations if somebody could mm-hmm. hack in and get your login credentials. So don't do that. So anyway, if you want to find something else or compare some password managers, you can go to a place like PCMag.com. They are usually pretty on the up and up as far as comparing things. If you don't know what they're talking about, have a techie friend help you.
Yeah, and I'm actually there right now, and I do want to point out, I'm using LastPass right now, and I know you said you do as well. They recently changed their pricing structure
mm-hmm.
to where you could pay for LastPass Premium, but I don't really see a point in doing that unless you're a big, huge power user. Because
yeah.
It used to be where you would have to pay for LastPass Premium to have the app on your phone and have your phone sync the passwords.
Right.
Which is very important.
It is.
If you're going to use a password manager. But now that's included in the free structure.
So that's another thing to consider, is to look at the free versus the paid versions.
Like KeePass, I think, is a one-time payment. You get the mm-hmm. software and then you use it and then it's free forever.
Yes.
LastPass, you are a little more, you know, up to, you're dependent upon them and the pricing structure.
Yes. But it's just like Netflix or any of those other kind of subscription services, where if you want the service and like you need to remember all of your passwords, it's worth it to kick in a few dollars now and then.
Exactly. It's kind of like, you know, just buying a coffee every day.
Yeah.
I kind of view it as that. Anything that's like a big, like one time or like once a year subscription price, just break that up into 12.
Yes.
And then it's like, oh, I mean, yeah, I'm paying for this over an entire year. That's not that bad. And especially when it comes to something like Password Manager, it's basically like a home security system when you live in an area that's prone to break-ins. It's really important to have.
Exactly. And the other thing with password managers and like not writing them down is that something like 90% of the security hacks for big companies come from people and their behavior and things like leaving your password laying around.
Or having a password that's really simple.
Yes.
And easy to guess, like password.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Or 1, 2, 3, ABC.
Another one that has, I have to scold some of my users. They like to use season. So whatever month they happen to be changing their password, they'll be like, spring 2018. And obviously that's real easy to guess too.
Yeah, that's true. I'll admit to being guilty of this with some of my websites. Incremental passwords, so whenever they expire, you just go up by one number at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No. Especially in an age here, to kind of wrap things up, where we're having, you know, Equifax breaches.
Mm-hmm.
If one website has their passwords breached and you use that password anywhere else, there are people out there that are buying these in bulk, and they will just have machines that go randomly try passwords. So if the iTunes store, just by example, this hasn't been done as far as I know, gets hacked and passwords are stolen, they may say, all right, this email and this password was leaked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try that on Gmail. And if that works in Google as well, you just had your passwords compromised in more than one spot. So that's why it's important, especially in these big services at least, to have different passwords.
Yes. And
whereas
there is a website you can go to see if you've been compromised in a data breach.
Have I been pwned, Kim?
I have been pwned many times.
I have been pwned as well. I think I know the site you're talking about.
So, if you haven't guessed, if you go to Have I Been Pwned, that's pwned.com, you can type in your email address or username, and it'll search all the data breaches to see if your information is out there.
And I'm doing that right now, and the big ones for me were the ones that probably everyone else listening has also had, is Adobe Dropbox and LinkedIn.
Ooh, yeah, the LinkedIn.
But those are back like in 2012, 2013. LinkedIn was 2016.
Yeah, and with those, they take the password, and what the hackers will do is they'll take that information and just spam a whole bunch of other sites to see if you've used it elsewhere.
Thankfully, one of the biggest security things you can fall back on is that unless someone's targeting you specifically, usually just following simple password policies, like using a password manager, that's going to keep you safe, making sure you have a different password in different spots.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't use a password manager, a really good way to kind of make things safe as well is to just find like a convention I've heard. So maybe say, as an example, you'd have a word like Luke Skywalker, and then you would take the website you go to, like if you go to Facebook, and you would type in the first letter of the website at the end. So Luke Skywalker F, and then you have a number that you always use, and then a symbol or something. So you have kind of like one, the chunk of the password you remember all the time, and then you change that based on the sites you go to.
Yeah. That's also
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you don't use a password manager, that's probably your next best step, because that'll allow you to have a different password in every other website. And unless you're being targeted specifically, people aren't going to take the time to say, oh, you know,
let's try a different this guy. Letter. Yeah.
Exactly. People are going to have a list of millions of passwords that they're using. So, but that's your next best step.
Yes. And if you do go to haveibeenpwned.com and find that you've been breached, please change your passwords on all of the things, not just that one.
At least the ones you worry about. I will admit, some things like my SoundCloud account.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. I used it to log in. Definitely like Facebook, Google, Apple, and your banking.
And I personally like to keep my bank passwords separate from my, like, social passwords, just so it's not even close to guessable.
Exactly. Well, I thought that was a pretty good rundown of passwords.
I hope that our users got some good information and will stop saving them on sticky notes.
Exactly. And like Kim said earlier, if you ever have any questions, you can either reach out to us on our social media accounts. We have a Facebook page. What is that, Kim?
facebook.com/servicedeskpodcast.
Or just go ahead and ask one of your techie friends, because we always love getting questions from our friends.
Actually, I kind of do.
Exactly.
And you can also find us at Twitter, the same handle that you use for Facebook, at Service Desk Podcast. And then if you feel like emailing us, you can go to servicedeskpodcast@gmail.com.
Awesome.
We'll have a website eventually.
Eventually. But
until that's live, use Facebook.
Exactly. Well, Kim, I think that's a good end for today. And as for the people listening, stay safe and quit writing those passwords down on your sticky notes.
Please. IT begs you.